Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I give a shit about you. I know we don't always feel like people do, but you know what? I am here for you, for sure. And thanks a lot for listening in today. Radio Free Brooklyn, by the way, go to, donate money to us. We need your money. I know you're not making a lot of money, but you should give us just a little bit of money, because we make sure that your life, freedom of the press, folks, that's what we're talking about here. Freedom of the press, radiofreebrooklyn.com/Patreon, donate, go ahead. Before we get started today, I was just trying to think of like what the hell's been going on in my life. And, you know, I did this show, was I talking about this last Monday a week ago, and it was pretty intense. It was called Who's More Annoying? And I just want to remind you people about Valentine's Day, that it's bullshit, okay? It's bullshit. But dating is great, and if you happen to be in a situation where you're having a romantic Valentine's Day, remember it. It's going to be very rare, a very rare Valentine's Day. I'm sorry to be the cynical, but, you know, I've lived too long. And also, how somebody treats you in the big picture is most important. And by the way, there is a direct correlation to how long you've been in a relationship and how long and how annoyed you are with your partner. There's no getting around it. I promise you that. And that was demonstrated in full force at my show, Who's More Annoying? So maybe I'll do that again sometime. In case you don't believe me, you can see it for yourself. So speaking of Valentine's Day, I have a very, 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 very special guest here today. The first time, I can't believe this is the first time. It's actually the second time, come to think of it. A long time ago, I had somebody on the show, it was anonymous. But today, I have somebody who's going to be anonymous. I will say it's a female. And the reason she's anonymous is because we are going to really delve into her marriage and her life, her relationship, and what's happened. And because it's so complex and there are other people involved, I just don't even want to tell you her name. That's how intense this is. So let me just give you a really shorthanded TikTok, as they say now on the air, of her life and her relationship. And then I'm going to bring her on and introduce you so we can talk about it together. But just so you have the background. Okay, so this woman is about my age, and so you kind of know what that is in the scheme of things. But anyway, when she was 15 in high school, she got pregnant. She got married the next year at age 16, had the baby. Then 12 years later, still married, she had a second baby at age 28. So we're looking at a woman who's been married to the same man since she was 15 with two kids now at age 28. 10 years later, she found out that her husband, she was 38, and her husband, who she'd been married to since 16, was having an affair. So a year later, she separated from him and then eventually got a divorce. 8 years after that, he, out of nowhere, wanted to get back with her. He missed her. He just wanted to put the whole thing back together. How does that happen? When does that happen? It happened to Anonymous. Anyway, she got back with the guy, and we're coming up to the much more recent past where they started dating, they moved in, they got married again, so she remarried. No, I'm sorry. She dated the guy and then moved in with him. Then she found out after they'd been together for 10 years that he was having an affair. When she found out he was having an affair, he wanted to stay together. And she wound up saying the only way she would stay with him was if they got married again. And I'm going to have her explain this to you. But it was a very smart business decision. There was, and she wasn't pretending anything else. So this person is, and it's somebody I know, and I can tell you with full force that this is a really happy, positive, fun-loving person. So as our romance example of the year, I bring to you Anonymous. How did that go, Anonymous?
Perfectly.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Cool. Yeah. So do you want to, I want people to understand why you got remarried and why you stayed with this person.
Okay.
Do you want to color in the outlines in any way that you think will be helpful before we get in that conversation?
I think so. When he approached me to put it all back together, those were the exact words he used, put it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't been thinking like that. And he obviously had been thinking mm-hmm. like that for a while. We'd been divorced for years.
And you were shocked, right?
So I was shocked, yeah. And I took it in a romantic way because that was my
sounds
reaction.
Romantic,
right? Right. But,
that sounds so romantic.
And I he didn't clarify, but he's not a good communicator, so I just assumed too much. I think at that juncture, and I didn't ask a lot of questions about money or about how we were going to do things. I had a house I sold. He had a house he sold. We pooled our profits together and bought a house together.
Mm-hmm.
So my name was on the debt with him as a single woman because we weren't remarried yet. We were just putting it all back together once I said okay.
Right. So you wound up mm-hmm. selling your houses and buying a new house
together.
But you weren't married.
No, we weren't married.
But you were living together, obviously.
Yeah, and the when I told him we would put it all back together and that I would do that, I said, my assumption is that we're doing this and we're going to put it all back together and we're going to be married. And maybe for the first 3 years that we were living together and making it all be back together. And by the way, our son was still living with us and everything. So
how old was he? Was he high school age?
He was a senior. He was a junior when we moved in together.
Right, but
senior.
Just
yeah,
a so couple he was years still, to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess I kept it on the back burner, but I did bring it up every once in a while about getting married. And his reaction was always, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the plan. So, but eventually I stopped asking and mm-hmm. I put that on myself. I take that on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because then 10 years suddenly is gone. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I found out again, he was traveling a lot for work and it was happening all over again. And sure enough, there was another affair. And so that's the coloring in I wanted to do was mm-hmm. that if I took it in a romantic way, he may have not.
What do you think he had in mind?
He meant put it all back together, meaning his money and the two houses. And
so
I feel
you think
like
he
was
just
more
wanted
about,
to live, move back in with you so he could only, because he was paying you alimony. You had either menial job. You didn't have a career because you got married so young and you were, he did very, very well on the other hand. And you made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Being the mother of two and all mm-hmm. everything else.
Yeah, and he
traveled a lot. You did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you had a lot, you know, anyway, what do you think he meant? You think he just wanted to like get away with paying one household?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the thing is, his original, the woman who he had the affair with originally, this is complicated too, because it was somebody he worked with and she was married with little kids.
She was having an affair too.
Yeah. She dragged it out. They both dragged it along for the whole time that I was divorced. Maybe, I mean, I wasn't sure about that until much later,
mm-hmm.
but at least for the first 4 years of our divorce period, that he was still with having an affair with her. And I think he was in love, maybe, and he really thought that she would end up with him, mm-hmm. and they would put it all together, you know. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen. So then when it fell apart, then he had a couple of years to think about how to make it all work better for him. And that's mm-hmm. when he came back to me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know all of that. I mean, I didn't know all that mm-hmm. in advance. I was just surprised and thought,
how did he act towards you? Did it feel romantic?
It didn't feel romantic. It felt happy. And he was relieved, and he was happy that we were doing this,
right?
But it wasn't anything over the top, or it wasn't like
it. What he didn't make a lot of grand gestures.
No, none at all. It was just sort of like we're going back to the way we used to be.
but he must have convinced you. There must have been something. I mean, where you believe you must have felt that. There was something there.
I did, because I thought that he meant it when he said we were going to get married, but he just never, like, he didn't. I kept kind of waiting for him to be like, okay, let's do it this summer, or here's a ring, or but he just kept saying, yeah, that's the plan. And then a year would go by and I'd have to ask again, and then it'd be like, yeah, that's the plan.
And yeah, just, so. Yeah. How did you feel, like, how did you forgive him for everything when you moved back in with him?
That was hard, but I had already done a lot of forgiving of him during the divorce time, because I was when it was all early, when it first happened, it was just so devastating, and I realized that I needed to change my focus. Like, he was always going to be here, because our son, you know. We have kids. So I'm like, oh, he's always going to be in my life, but he loves this other woman and he's got this other thing happening, uh-huh. and we're divorced now. So I switched my focus to over here, and I went back to school to get my degree and everything. So I had literally made a decision to change where I'm looking and where I'm paying attention.
And develop. That really, like, and that must give you, that must have really given you, did that change you?
Yeah.
Did that turn
you? It gave me more confidence in my own decisions.
Yeah.
Not waiting on his decisions.
Because being in the room with you today, it's hard for me to picture that person that, would have been, okay with whatever that guy did.
I have to say, though, I am like that. Like, I can be really intense if I get really mad.
Yeah.
But I'm over it. And when I'm over it, I do forgive a lot.
Right.
I have
in my life.
Because
that's how you keep such a, because it costs you more than it's worth.
Yeah.
That's how come you're a happy, positive, creative person who's.
You can't hang on to that crap.
But you have a huge output.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like that's a lot of it.
You have to be able to do that, and you have to figure out a way,
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we are. You had the strength to forgive him already by the time he came back. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people wouldn't have been able to do that. They would have held on to that bitterness. So that's how we are able to understand how you were able to have an open mind when he came back, right?
Right. And then I felt, when I found out, after the years went by, I was disappointed,
That you weren't getting married.
That we weren't getting married, and that things weren't really together. And it was just like it was before, and he was gone all the time. And I was there doing everything and getting, no thank yous, nothing, barely, money has always been a thing because we were teenagers. I mean, when we first were married, the first couple of years we were on food stamps and the whole nine yards.
Did you live alone when you were,
I had to emancipate as a teenager.
Wow. Was your mom like really mad?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You had to rebel your parents too.
Yeah.
That's really tough. Wow.
Well, and so that's why honestly, my bonding that I have with him is a teenager, two teenagers stuck with nothing, mm-hmm. you know, figuring
it
out.
Can I ask you where you were living at that time?
In Indiana.
Yeah, like a small town in Indiana?
Yeah.
Which you're not made for at all.
No.
That's where it all started. Mm-hmm. You people in Indiana, got to be a little more open-minded. Look what the fuck happened. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You know.
So I romanticized our own growing up, I think, too, and he didn't so much. He's not the same.
No, yeah. But he romanticized like your post high school years mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds like he's a pretty successful guy,
he's very,
right?
Very successful.
So he must have been very driven to make mm-hmm. money, or what mm-hmm. was his motive? What was, you say he was away a lot. What's his thing?
Work.
Is he a workaholic?
Mm-hmm. And his identity is work.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that his relationships with people there at work are of a certain, you know, level, at a certain level. And at home, this whole other thing with the kids and me, and I'm the mom, I'm the mother, you know, mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's not comfortable. He wasn't comfortable. I didn't know any of this. I've surmised all of this as I've,
oh, yeah.
You know, but I have a feeling that work is where he could be who he is. And home was where he had to play some role or something.
Well, you know, I mean, when you think about it, you probably took on the role of being the mom mm-hmm. and keeping the household stable as a teenage girl because you were capable of ditching your family, which, you know, you obviously had a lot of, you know, strong backbone. And a lot, you know, you're obviously incredibly smart and capable. So you were the really capable one. So you were able to manage all that. And I wonder if you took on the role of his mother a little bit. And that, do you think maybe just because he's a guy, he got to escape more?
I think so.
And yeah. And also because he had a way to, like, make money. And so the woman he had the affair with, that was from work? Mm-hmm. And do you think that's the women that he's dated mm-hmm. are mostly women from work?
Mostly, yeah.
Mm.
It's wherever he shines. I mean, if he feels, I feel like he can shine at work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a couple other affairs that I found out about that were at another place that's not work, but it was this other thing that he does with his life. And has since he was a teenager, where he shines. He's a winner. And there were women around there, too, that I found out later. Oh, that was happening.
Oh, because it's like seeing a rock singer on stage. Yeah. But if you actually live with him, it's not the same, right?
Yeah,
so I could see that's kind of a fantasy view of himself that he liked to have reflected back to him. I can imagine that. But also, there must be a sense of intimacy and connection that he has to you because he grew up with you.
I think so. And sometimes it's like I didn't then, but now, where we are now, I'm like, are we more like we should have been, we're family, but
right.
we shouldn't have been a couple, you know, like we shouldn't have been a sexual couple. We should have just been support system for each other this whole time, you know. That
right.
we can both do more together than we could when we were not together. You know, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, there's no way that either of you can have a certain type of deep relationship that you have together. Yeah. It's very rare that people who know each other in high school after all that time are still in touch at all, let alone living in the same household. But you trusted him when you got back with him.
I did, and too long.
But was that because you felt he changed, or did he make it really clear that, what was it?
I honestly think I just thought, because I had learned, I went to some therapy, you know, took my son. He did not, but I thought because he was able to come to me and ask to put it all back together that he was it was over. He had learned. He did appreciate me really deep down. I just wanted that to be true, and maybe it was during a. But once we fell back into our regular old mm-hmm. thing, and I want to also point out that I always worked. I've never not worked. I always had like 2 and 3 part-time jobs, mm-hmm. and my money. I always had my own bank account uh-huh. that I put my, and that always went for groceries and maybe the electric bill.
Oh, or wow. Maybe you were yeah. really generous.
And I thought I was doing that all those early years. And I was at first, I was doing that for us to help. And that he paid whatever rents we had and the bigger bills. I thought I was helping, but really he was hiding.
He was hiding money.
And we still do not have a joint bank account.
But you have a sense of it.
I do. Yeah.
So you may not see it, but you still kind mm-hmm. of have a. You're not in the dark about
no,
it.
No. Now I do. I didn't know until the divorce.
And also, he paid alimony, so you had. Mm-hmm. You have a nice house.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not feel. I don't want anyone feeling sorry for this.
No.
This anonymous person yeah. with her big swimming pool and view of the mountains. Okay.
We just sold that one.
Okay. How many years did you live in there?
All since we got back together. That's the house that we bought when I sold my house.
10 years or something.
Yeah, 11.
11. You bought it together.
We bought it together.
And that. So mm-hmm. I just want people to know that.
Yeah. The selling it was part of me. What the next step?
Mm-hmm. So I want to hear about what happened when you found out that he was. Let's get back to the second
yeah.
half
yeah.
of the two-part marriage. So you found out he was having an affair. You'd been with him for 10 years. What happened then, and how did you wind up getting married?
Okay. Yeah, so I kept waiting to get married. It wasn't happening. 10 years go by, and by accident, I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
But by accident, he actually ended up showing me a picture on his phone. He was trying to show me something else, and he's flipping through, and he showed me a picture of something that he didn't mean for me to see. So then that discussion started, and that's how I found out. And then when I found
you fucked up, man.
Oh man,
big time.
And when once I found that out and that it was happening again, my heart just sank completely to the bottom of the ship, because I knew I already been through this, and I mm-hmm. let myself go through it again. And the kids, actually the grandchildren, were spending the night, so we couldn't have an argument about it mm-hmm. right the day it happened. Mm-hmm. We had to wait.
So, man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. But after the grandkids went to bed, I went and did some research on the computer for like 6 hours and read about New Jersey law and found out that I was screwed because Chris Christie had screwed around with the palimony laws, because we aren't married, so if he died of a heart attack tomorrow or something happened to him, I would have to prove that I deserve, you know, half his salary or his benefits if I'm not the beneficiary. Or what if this other person now came in, and what if she had a kid with him and I didn't know about it? And what if he had a heart attack tomorrow and she showed up and said, it's mine. And I have to fight
so
in the courts.
Up.
I've already fought in the courts.
So would it have gone to your kid? I mean, like, unless, like, all things being equal, might it have gone to your kids or something?
No.
Who would have gotten
it? I would have had to prove to the state of New Jersey. I could have proven that we've been together this amount of time. And I would have gotten a portion of it. But if there was someone else fighting me.
No, but I mean, like, that kind of thing. Well, whatever might have you. Who knows where it would have gone? But you were really smart to do all that research.
He could have written whoever he's having an affair with. He could have written somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would never know. But we're divorced and we're living together, and we have a huge debt. That house.
Oh right.
Huge debt.
Yeah. Big point.
And
that's
half of it was
mine.
My name was on that debt.
You both have a house. You own a house together.
Yeah.
Right.
So
what happened then?
So then. three days went by before, because the kids were staying, the grandkids were there for the whole weekend, actually. Mm-hmm. And once they were home, and then he had gone off to work, so I had to wait till he came home from work. And I said, I want to sit down at the kitchen table, and I want us to talk, and I don't want to fight. I don't want us to raise our voices. I don't want to have to cry, you know, but I want to tell you what I've learned. And I told him everything I've learned about all the crap of New Jersey law and where I stood and how I had screwed myself by mm-hmm. doing what we did together. I told him all my fears about what if this woman showed up and what if you have a kid, and of course he was like, oh, of course. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. You know, I have no way of knowing anything. I don't even know how much money is in the bank. Right, I have decided that I will only live with you by law.
Mm-hmm.
By law, right now, as it stands, we are divorced. I have a document that says we're divorced, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that you owe me this amount of alimony every month. That's the law. And I have put that aside for 10 years.
You chose to, though.
I chose to.
Right.
But there's no legal document saying I chose to.
Right.
Right?
So you could go back.
Yeah.
So you had that document.
Yeah,
you could go back to the alimony.
That's right.
Like that day.
Uh-huh. And I said, okay, we talked and agreed that we would be getting remarried. And 10 years has gone by and we have not been remarried. And if we were remarried, I wouldn't have a question in my mind about if you had a heart attack tomorrow, what's going to happen to this house?
Right.
And if that woman showed up, I could fight her because I'm the wife.
Right.
I have a legal document saying
right. But who wants? Right.
So I said, we're either going to live by marriage law or we're going to live by divorce law. It's up to you. You can choose, but you only have a week. I'm like, I'm leaving next Tuesday. I've just picked a week. And I'm like, that's it.
Good
you know?
For you, man.
I had reached my limit.
Are you clapping in your living room? No, because there's probably some like married guy there in his living room is probably going, fuck, I'm fucked. But so why didn't, here's the obvious question. Why didn't you say this guy's fucked up and I'm moving out?
Because I'm of a certain age. I have done this. I know how hard alone.
You already did it. You have experience.
I've done it.
You don't want to do it again.
And I'm not going back there.
But you have like kind of a big house.
Yeah. And at the point, so this is what I said to him too. He decided that we would get married because that's actually better financially for both of us to keep it all together. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. But I have to get out of debt with you. We have to sell this house because I don't want to be in any kind of debt with you. Even if we are married, I don't want to leave our children debt. I don't want to have to figure it all out if you mm-hmm. croak tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I don't trust him pretty much to cover any bases.
You don't
anymore.
Want to even think about Mm-mm. it. You don't even, is he a good dad?
Yeah, he was a good absent dad, but when he was there, for whatever it was they were uh-huh. doing, like the important stuff or the big yeah. stuff, he was a good dad.
He was a really good dad. So you yeah. respect him that way, and your kids wished
he wasn't as absent mm-hmm. during their younger years, but they still love him as a father. Yeah.
And you're happy about that.
I am.
And that's a good thing. Yeah. Okay, so see, it's not all
bad. No, that's not
all
too
bad.
No.
Hey, let me just do my station
sure.
ID. Because I'm going to get, Tom's going to yell at me. I'm afraid of Tom. Do you guys all know how afraid I am of the manager of the station, Tom Tenney? He yells if you don't do it right. So I got to remind everybody to that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and it's Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit having a very intense conversation with an anonymous guest about her second marriage to the same person and how that all went down and all the legal ramifications and financial ins and outs. And I thank you for listening. And speaking of financial ins and outs, you could give us a donation or even sponsor this show. If you give me a dollar for this show, I will sing your praises on the next one, okay? Or talk about your band. Just give me a dollar and I will mention your band. How's that? If you give me $10, I will play one of your band's songs. All right, so back to you're living together,
yeah.
And he's agreed to he did it take him a long time to say no, let's get married again?
No, he waited a couple of days, and he kind of was angry. He didn't like being up against a wall.
He didn't like being caught.
He didn't like being caught. That's first and foremost, mm-hmm. And caught for a second time, you know.
He has no, like, yeah, we're kind of like, wake up, buddy.
Yeah.
Because he lives in a fantasy land of the office. He's never going to retire. Does he travel? He travels on business, okay, is what we're talking about.
Well,
right?
So there's a change. So we did. So it took.
I don't want to get you off track. Yeah. Go ahead.
It took a year, but the house did sell recently, mm-hmm. And we've moved we've downsized,
mm-hmm.
And we have no mortgage.
That's great.
So we have no debt. Together.
Fabulous.
This way. And that was a goal. So the goal was to get married so that I have security in case, right, one of these women comes, mm-hmm. up with a baby and he passes away of a heart attack and I have to fight some woman for his, you know,
yeah,
whatever, to be a beneficiary. So if he wants to put it all back together, then I'm going to be the one that keeps it all back,
right,
together. Because I can't trust him.
So he agreed to get married again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so you're living with him and you're both married.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, like, what is that like? Do you still, how do you not be angry at that person? How, mm-hmm. do you not have awkwardness? How do you not have mistrust? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard because I don't trust him any. And I did try to, in a sort of romantic way, when I got back with him. And I did let myself trust him for, mm-hmm. several years. And then I can't trust. I just can't, because that's,
yeah, right,
dumb,
right,
to trust him.
No, right. No, I can understand that you thought he changed. It was,
yeah,
a long time. He'd been,
yeah,
through a lot. I could understand, yeah, that. Yeah.
But he didn't. But he's smart, too. And, you know, he's got issues. And I'm not going to be the person that beats him over the head with
them. Not your problem.
No, it's not my problem.
Not your problem.
And
I'm going to fix that.
Yeah. And obviously, he loves me enough to trust me to handle the home and the kids and the grandkids and to make him look good and everything. And that I can appreciate. And,
uh-huh,
I can live with that.
Uh-huh.
I can't trust him, and I have to find a way that I don't hate him and I'm not angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I'm doing it. I'm getting out of debt with him.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be sort of equal ground. It has nothing to do with money then. Like,
mm-hmm.
If I needed to be alone and go live alone somewhere, I could do it much more cheaply without him. And I could make my, I could, you know, work,
yeah,
in
you're
a,
fine,
work at
you're
a Walmart,
fine,
or somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't,
you're,
care.
Good. You're,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I am good. Yeah.
So in other words, once you found out he was having the affair, you were able to rearrange everything so that you felt more empowered, right?
And secure.
Mm-hmm. So you wound up, and is there's affection between you guys?
Yeah.
Getting,
yeah,
like,
because
I think he really loves you. Do you feel confident in his love for you?
I do. Honestly, because of who we were, who we used to be when we were young, and how hard we had to work to do what we did,
right,
to make it all and to have kids and to make it all stay together then.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly don't know if I trust that. You know, I don't trust that feeling as a grown up now. You,
mm-hmm.
know, so I'm like, I'm happy to hang on to that love and that affection, but it isn't some big epic romance.
No.
And it never
there
will.
There is no big epic. This is what I'm telling you, folks. If you're like madly in love right now, write it down. Keep notes. You know, there is not to be that cynical about love, but we are sold a bill of goods, especially us women. So, in other words, he's a little bit dancing to your tune now.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think he's happy.
About, I want to just ask, is there still the other woman that he was in his life? Are there other women or what's going on there?
So, right now, so there are tells. He has tells. He would never want to admit that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're really, he's very obvious now that I know, you know? Mm-hmm. And right, okay, so the job that had him traveling so much, that job is over. And he started a new job that he's in the area. He's traveling still, but it's within a three-state district area. And I know right now, I feel very sure that there are no attractions, but I am waiting for the next one because...
Right, because it keeps smart, happening. But it seems like an ego thing more than it seems like he really needs you, but he also needs to have his ego reinforced.
Or who he is.
By women. Out it's in more the world. About that instead of like, I mean, like the first time you caught him, would he have wanted to, he didn't want a divorce then either, I bet.
No.
Because he can't substitute what you give, what he gets with you from... you know, the women he's having affairs with because it's not as meaningful, blah, blah, blah. But let's talk about women's issues a little here because I think the point that I'm getting, this is a really important point that, and I have said this before, that, and I'm not the only person to, I mean, this is, girls, listen up. Well, it's not just girls, but the truth is I feel that 90% of the time, or most of the time, maybe it's 70, 80% of the time, the person who makes the more money has more power in the relationship. And I don't think that's necessarily, I think it just happens. I think we don't even notice it. Like one person's making a lot more money, and so they get to pick the vacation, or they're working harder because they have more work to do and they make more money. So who's going to choose that? They get to get the TV set. You know, I think it's common for the person who's making the less amount of money to accommodate the person who's making more. You're agreeing, you're nodding your head. Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I felt that many times that, it was up to me to make room for whatever we needed, meaning me and the kids, whatever we needed from him. There had to be room because his job was so important and the money that he made was so important to pay all the bills and this and that, or pay the rent and that. And he would work until midnight or 2 a.m. or whatever he was doing it because it was that important that it was up to me to make room for that to happen for him. You know, that I had to make that okay with the kids and me, that I had to be the one that was making it so he didn't worry about us.
Right. You took that on.
Yeah.
You took
and
that on.
And I feel like that a lot of times that does fall to the mom, but it also could have happened to a dad, a stay home dad, if the mom is the one making.
Right. Like, the stay home person.
They would feel the same way, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And then because, you know, people evaluate things by how much money and stuff like that. But you know what I'm thinking about too is I want to talk about how I think that is still really glamorized in our culture, like in Hollywood today, that a young woman should go for a rich guy.
Yeah.
Maybe not older necessarily, like as bad as that used to be, you know, like when you see Audrey Hepburn with those old dudes.
Yeah.
But okay, so maybe it doesn't have to be old, but rich guys, use your... I think there's this horrible thing in society that won't go away where if you're an attractive woman, use that to get a guy with money.
Yeah, that's gross. Yeah.
Do you think that's still really common?
I think there is... I feel like that is sort of a depiction. It's depicted as a norm or something, and that we, you know, we... see it and we just take it in and think, oh yeah, if I'm pretty enough, that's gonna, you know, I could be rich just because I'm pretty enough, you know, because this guy's gonna like me. Yeah, this guy's gonna like me and want me on his arm. Yeah,
right. So that's but I think that women give up their, and this is the buzzword, agency when they do that.
They do. Yeah.
But why don't we recognize that? Do you think that's recognized in society?
I don't know. I think it's something that maybe it gets recognized personally at some point, but then other women maybe don't even ever, you know, recognize it. But no, I don't think it's that recognized. I think it should be.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I just think it's a really bad message mm-hmm. that isn't being talked about or addressed.
And you know what else? It's a message, sort of a market to, it's marketed and messaged to young, to teenagers. So they're making that decision about their prospects or their looks and their prospects and their wealth or whatever, their possible wealth based on a man. They're making that decision about themselves as a teenager. Like, because that's where the mark, that's where the message is.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it's for, really. So that's a dumb decision made by a dumb teenage girl. And then she's, 50 years old, getting plastic surgery and trying to still be that dumb teenage girl.
So that she can get her, be valued by men.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's just this enormous kind of unconscious message through, it's insidious in society. That women need to do everything they can to be attractive, and from, you know, from actual surgery to fake eyelashes, fake everything, that they're not good enough unless they have all sorts of fakes. The more fake, the better. And even like false eyelashes on young women are part of that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a really, really bad message. Yeah. And I think just even the idea that women can't go out in public, like you see women on these newscasters, you can't imagine a woman without a lot of makeup, without, you know, on the news.
Yeah.
And everywhere. And I think that's really bad. And I don't understand why women aren't noticing that more.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know the more that politics has become entertainment on television. It's so that I watch a lot of the news people and the politics and stuff. And it's so obvious that the men, you know, they can lose their hair. They can, you know, they don't have a lot, they don't have lipstick on, they don't have fake eyelashes. And then they have these women are overly made. I mean, it's like the contrast is ridiculous.
Yeah. The contrast is ridiculous. Yeah. And, well, this is what's actually even making me crazier. Like when I'm listening to you talk, because I think you're an awesome example of somebody who's worked that out and without actually earning a lot of money.
Yeah.
You have just been really smart about how you've handled your life.
Yeah.
And so you've been very comfortable because of decisions that you've made and your own independent thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And there have been years that were really uncomfortable as far as money is concerned. But then I've still been able to do what I want to do, which is I have to admit, something I never thought would happen for me. Mm-hmm. Until I was in my close to 30, I realized, oh, wait a second, I could go back to school. Someday I'm going to. You know, like I didn't think like that for many, many years. I just thought it was, that's not going to be, I'm going to be like, working three part-time jobs and have my kids. And yeah, so it came to me a little later, you know.
Right.
But it came, and then I have accomplished and I continue to accomplish.
Absolutely.
The dreams and goals that I want to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which you probably, you know, which is actually kind of a reaction to your earlier life.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you wished your parents had been more involved in your life?
Well, that's a whole nother topic because they are more involved again now.
Now that they're great grandparents. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened?
They grew up too, you know. They learned things too. They're more appreciative, you know. Which they're from a whole nother era.
Yeah, right, of course.
And their ideas about what was the right and wrong and how to deal with a child that they didn't mm-hmm. agree mm-hmm. with, or that was challenging, mm-hmm. to say the least. You know, those choices that they made are not something that would ever be, you know, done now mm-hmm. as a parent. Mm-hmm. So it's like, nah, I have to give them props because they're elderly and they're very important to me.
Right. Right. So you maintain a relationship yeah. with them.
And that's whole thing
that's
again.
That's been healed.
Yes. Yeah. That whole, you have to find a way to forgive or forget or mm-hmm. both or, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't carry that around. I can't carry that around or I'll get sick.
No, you've worked. You have a lot of strength. I mean, this is why we're talking. So what about dating? Did you date when you were single?
Oh my
did
God.
You think about dating now? Would you date?
I did date.
Or would you feel like you were cheating on your husband if you dated? Or
I'm married now, and I'm okay with not dating.
You know, it's Let funny. Me just I'm married. Say that. I'm kind of okay with that too, I guess. Come to think of
I
it, know, but yeah,
because I did try.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you know, I have to say, I hadn't dated, you know, very much before I got pregnant.
Right,
in high
school. Right.
And so when I finally did try to date, I didn't know anything, and it was miserable. I mean, it was fun, mm-hmm. but I wasn't finding out. I was not learning anything really about myself. I was learning about dating.
Different ways to have sex mm-hmm, and who and mm-hmm. where yeah. nice restaurants
yeah.
to go to.
Yeah. I didn't really know that sometimes someone just wants to have sex.
I
thought they loved me if they were, you know, like, oh my
Isn't
God.
That crazy? Yeah. We all women have to learn that yeah. as teenagers.
Yeah. I hadn't learned that.
Why are we still thinking that?
I don't know. Because our bodies
Barbie?
Are... Maybe. I don't know. Actually, you should think about that and do a program.
No, I mean, no, I, well, this is what I'm talking about.
It's because we can be invaded. Our bodies are more.
Well, I have said that I think women biologically, like I think, I mean, I've said this before. You know, I go back to this one example where when I was single for a long period and didn't get laid, I found some guy, went out one night, found a guy who seemed nerdy but attractive, and I brought him home just so I could sleep with him. And then I never even got his number, his name, nothing. And then the next day, I started missing him and thinking well of him. And I realized, which faded after a couple of days, but I realized, like, it's because I slept with him. Mm-hmm. Well, I think women are just set up. I think it makes certain amount of sense so that you stick with a guy so you can raise the kids.
Children.
Mm-hmm. I think we're biologically set up that way. Yeah, the same way that guys are set up mm-hmm. to not get attached.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so they can have a lot of kids with all the different women and take over the whole tribe.
That's right.
So that's why we have what we call civilization.
And syphilis. Oh!
We have syphilis. We get that. No, but that we're trying to become civilized here.
Yeah, that's true.
But see, this is what goes back to what I was saying before, is what my big concern is, that young women aren't learning anything and aren't learning enough, and that this whole Me Too movement is actually, there's a lot of hypocrisy in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because a lot of women still are manipulating men to get what they want. And it's not even, I don't even blame them, because the way these businesses... The way, you know, Trump's administration is set up, flirting with guys is what you got to do. It's set up that way.
Yeah, and he wants them wearing skirts and heels in the White House. The way
right.
I mean, it's it's set up. It's definitely moving the wrong direction.
But a lot of the women that are saying like Me Too are also women that have manipulated men to get what they want. And I don't even mind if they do that. I just want them to call it out. Say, this is the way the world is. So I have to manipulate men. That's how I'm going to get ahead. But a lot of times women wind up feeling like, I'm awesome because I got that guy to do this or do that. And that's what the problem is for me.
And that makes me think of all the young teenagers that are acting out sexually on the web and things, and that girls are given blowjobs and things like that to, mm-hmm. work, to 13-year-old boys, and they're 12, the girls, mm-hmm. 13 or 12. I'm thinking this is the same thing gone really wrong.
Yeah.
Really wrong.
And demand to have an orgasm first.
Exactly. They don't know that.
Well, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
They come first.
No, they don't know that, though.
Yeah. Well, I got to figure out a way to get this message out there for teenagers. But, you know, our problem is also we're not allowed to really talk about sex. Like, if I wanted to go to a high school and give a big talk about sex and, like, what we're talking about here, no one would let me do it.
No, yeah.
So I got problems. Let me ask you about how your teenagers, no, they're not teenagers, your children, mm-hmm. They're in their 20s, 30s, 40s.
Robert, my son is 28, mm-hmm. and Dustin's 12 years older than him, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My stepson's 20.
Yeah.
So how do you think, like, your, particularly with your daughter, let's talk about that, how do you think your example in all different ways has affected her? What do you think?
Well, I honestly, she is such the opposite of my life.
Like another rebel.
Uh-huh. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't.
I know you're close.
Yeah,
I
she was not
that.
A difficult child like
I
was.
No, I know
I
you
was.
Have good relationships. I want everyone to know you have great
really
relationships
good,
with your children. That's not why I'm asking.
But Dusty.
Well, yeah, we're still gonna have to like research, do some research, because you're anonymous. So
yes,
it's a common name.
Yeah, okay. Well, so she would say that she's influenced by me, and mm-hmm. she has said that before. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly like she doesn't pay attention to how hard you know she even went through a lot of it with us.
Yeah. Yeah,
because she was there as a young child. She has mostly good memories of everything.
That's awesome.
I know. And I'm like, well, that's her attitude in life. And she's very successful. And she's a very positive person, too.
Can I ask what she does?
Yeah, she went to Wharton. Yeah, she's a business girl. And she's...
My mouth's open, folks. Yeah. That's why there's no noise.
Is an executive, a female executive, sought after by businesses, you know, because she's a rarity. She's a 40-year-old female executive business person. So I'm so proud.
Yeah, and I am too now. Does she have children?
Yeah, she has. Those are my grandkids. She has two children.
And she's been married to the same man?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about their marriage?
They have such a, it's more like their colleagues and equals because of they do both have high yielding jobs and they're both business people, so they respect and they know
they're real partners.
Yeah, they're real partners.
And who takes care of the kids? They have enough money, so they have help. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And when they had their first child and that was, you know, he was just a baby, I came in.
Right, right. And that must have been fun.
Yeah, I'd stay like three nights a week and stay with them and help with the baby. So that was good.
So that's that must be very what's the word? I don't want to say reassuring, and that must make you feel acknowledged or validating is the word. Validating that you were able to take all that and give your daughter all that strength and direction. Jesus.
I feel like she sets a good example too for me to uh-huh. not give in to, you know, uh-huh. to feeling sorry for myself too sometimes, you know, over the years.
You're a good influence on each other is what it is.
I kind of feel like that.
So that's really, and she has a solid relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that I think your husband is a really good dad. I keep getting that feeling.
Yeah.
And don't you think that counts?
It does.
Like, I mean, I don't know because I didn't grow up with my stepson.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I think if you're a parent, having a really great partner as a father or mother would make up for a lot of fucked up marriage shit.
You make a lot of room. It does. It's one of the reasons you stick around.
Because he's such a great father. He is a good father. Yeah. I'm getting that. Yep. And now what about your son?
And he had a really... As a teenager, he had a a career already, a professional sport career.
Wow. And, so he's really an outstanding athlete.
Well, and not now. Like, but I mean, what did he's moved do? Away from it. It was all racing, race cars. And his dad was instrumental in all of that when our son was even a young child is when he started.
Driving race
cars? Go-karts is where it all begins.
And then did he wind up driving real he race ended cars? Up,
yeah, I mean.
Dangerous race cars?
Yeah. Formula BMW, Formula Mazda.
On a race? Like, did he get paid for that?
Yeah.
Was that scary?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the most scary one that I went to, he was driving in a truck series, NASCAR series. And
that's horrible to go through that as a mother.
I watched him have a wreck and I was so scared.
Was that horrible?
It was horrible. I was never a big fan, although I was very proud of his accomplishments. I was not a fan of being there. I could watch it on TV more easily than.
So he's also incredibly successful. Uh-huh. So he doesn't even do that anymore. But your husband really
that was a big
stuck
thing.
With him. And they did it together.
And the two of them. And that during our divorce, I had to be really accommodating to allow for that to happen because there was a lot of time spent out of school and, you know, he'd get trouble with school for being gone and all. Anyway, long story short, he's really well adjusted and he's in a relationship. They're not married, but he lives, you know, with a woman.
He's 28. He's still
young. And he's a professional, you know, he's got a solid career.
What does he do?
He works for an engineering firm.
Is he an engineer?
Well, he's still in school, but he goes, so he takes classes after where he has a full-time job with full benefits. And
wow, and he's taking classes and he's taking classes to get his
Yep. So I'm like, oh, I'm very proud of him as well. You know, he landed on his feet, you know.
And is he, how does he treat his girlfriend?
You know what? He is a serial monogamous. That's,
yeah, you don't ever think he's going to have an affair. What do your children, they know that their dad had an affair?
Oh, yeah.
And how do they feel about that? Was that hurtful?
Yeah, it was. But, oh, boy, they could get over it. And they wanted me to get over it. You know?
They got over it.
They got over it.
And then how about the second time? Did they know about that?
Yeah, they knew about it. And they were just sort of like, are you kidding? You know, and then they came to the wedding, the second wedding. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to see for themselves, I think, that we're really doing this. You know, I think my son was sort of like rolling his eyes, but my daughter told me she felt like doing a cartwheel.
Were they disappointed? Do you think your husband is embarrassed or ashamed about your children more than? Yeah. Do you think it bothers him?
I think.
Do you think that's I hate to say this so petty, not petty, but so negative. But payback, is that the payback that he's hurt his children?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Do you think? Has he said anything about
that? No. But you can tell the way he behaves is not his normal way of behaving. Like in when he's caught in those weird moments, it explains a lot of why he was acting the way he was. You know that.
Uh huh.
Around that time,
right,
that it was probably his shame
mm-hmm. his shame in front of his children, because he needs their respect.
Yeah,
he had already lost yours.
Yeah, no, and mine wasn't important anymore, but well, theirs is well to him it was.
That's probably what he's learned from that.
Yeah, I think so.
That's interesting. I'm gonna have to think about this. Mm-hmm. But I just, we only got a few seconds left, so I just want to remind the young women out there, don't suck up to guys, okay? It's really important that you don't do that. You don't need to. You're fabulous. Just own your fabulousness, okay? And I want you to stay tuned because we've got Lost and Rewound. We have this great host, Elon, and he does this really awesome show that is very, very popular and involves a lot of things, tapes. Lost and Rewound, it's about his old tapes, and he just has really great stories and music, and you know, you should stay hang out and listen to him, and thank